Let's turn our Bibles today to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. I talked to you last week about the entrance of God's Word. I dealt with the fact that it's inspired, infallible, God-breathed. Today I want to talk to you about the influence of God's Word. And so God's Word is so important. I'm glad that, you know, we hear a lot of things said and done around throughout the world, and most of them are not even divine, most of them are not eternal. But God's Word is eternal, and it's divine. So let's read Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you. You shall observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. Now the words he's talking about here is the Ten Commandments that were restated in the fifth chapter of Deuteronomy and also in Exodus 20. But verse 2 here, Deuteronomy 6 and 2. That you may fear the Lord your God and keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Father, I pray, God, your divine anointing upon the Word of God, the ministry of the Word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The influence of God's Word. We're influenced by many things today. We're influenced by advertisements, so you can be sure and buy whoever's advertising what. But our behavior is a product of whatever we're influenced by. For example, if a child listens to a cartoon or watches a cartoon on TV, after a while, you know, at a certain age, they'll just begin to try to act like their favorite character in that cartoon. Anyway. And so it happens, that's not just the kid, it happens in adults too. A few years ago when they had all the Rambo movies, everybody had to buy a Rambo knife. I'm guilty. So I like knives. But I looked on the internet what a Rambo knife would cost. You can have one for simply $204. I never wanted one that bad. But we're influenced by the people around us and what we see and what we hear. But what does God want you to be influenced by? God knew Israel would be influenced by the idolatry of Canaan. They were entering a land that they would receive as an inheritance for all Israel. And so they would be influenced by the idolatry of Canaan if they didn't have a divine standard to live by. And that divine standard was the Ten Commandments. And God put them there because they knew that if they went into the Canaan and they didn't have any standard of righteousness or holiness, that they would quickly conform to the worldly things and the pagan things, pagan lifestyles around them. And so throughout Israel's history, they continually failed to keep the first two commandments. About thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. They had problems with this. They did this and they reverted to the ways of Canaan instead of letting God's word rule their lives. And therefore they failed in many places, and eventually it brought judgment upon them. And the Assyrians God used as an instrument of judgment against Israel, and all the Babylonians God used an instrument as a judgment against Judah. So God gave them His Word to show them the standard of living that He required, or else they would begin to live like their pagan neighbors. And today, if we don't promote godly character to this generation, then we will have a generation that is influenced by today's godlessness. And we don't want that. We want to be influenced by the truth of God's Word. Amen. Jesus said, I've quoted it before, probably this morning, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Simply, God will take care of everything else if you just put Him first. If you'll put the truth of His Word first. Praise God. And here in our passage, the fear of the Lord is mentioned in verses 1 through 3. Especially verse 2 says, "That you may fear the Lord your God and keep His commandments." The fear of the Lord has been sadly lost in much of society today. And the fear of the Lord doesn't mean that you got to be scared of God, but it means to honor, respect, and reverence and adore the Creator who gives you your next heartbeat and your next breath. It's God. It means to take His, to honor Him by taking Him seriously, like your life depends on it, because it does. And so, in the book of Proverbs, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." And so we want to have the fear of God in our lives. We won't be influenced by the reverence, respect, the fear of God in our lives. Amen. To believe what God says should influence our lives. Amen. In the medical world, certain medicines prescribed by the doctor, certain doctors, have influence over certain physical aspects of our human body. And somebody asked me one time, says, how did you get through traumatic brain injury? Because I've had it. And I said, well, it's mainly just mind over matter. In fact, if you don't have a mind, it doesn't really matter. But I had medicines, yes. But certain medicines are prescribed to help you feel better. And they have certain influence over your life, but let's let God have an influence over our life. Many things today rebel against the fear of the Lord. And so we know that marital infidelity is looked on as okay and normal today. It's not okay. It's not normal. It's wrong. It's sin. But society today even encourages, by all means of communication, television, internet, whatever, to lead people in the wrong direction and to be influenced by the wrong things. That's just one example. Another example was Darwin's theory of evolution influenced people to believe that things that evolved through millions and millions of years, even though nobody's lived millions and millions of years except God. But after you read that, it's much easier to believe that God created all things. A man told me one time, he said, I believe, I talked to him about the Lord, and I was on a secular job, and he said, I believe mankind is just a smart monkey. Well, if that's true, I know some of those monkeys are not too smart. Anyway. But we believe that God created mankind, and God formed, the Bible says, the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. God created mankind into existence with all bodily functions, male, mind, will, and emotions, everything that he has, God created it. Man, and so it's easier to believe that than believe that we just evolved from some other different form of life. Just believe what God says. Be influenced by what God says. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You could just stop with the first few words in the beginning. God. God never began. God never ends. God is eternal. God just is eternal. Never beginning and never ending. It's hard for human beings to grasp that concept that something can't begin, something never began or never ended.
that God never began and never started anywhere. Somebody asked me one time, where did God come from? And I said, well, he didn't come from anywhere. He just always is and always was, ever shall be. He's eternal God. Amen. I got into that. Brother Kevin brought that out strongly in Sunday school this morning. Very good. And so God just is. Amen. But God has given us the gift of faith to believe that He is the Creator. He's given us His Word that teaches that He is the Creator. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word's not going to be God sometime. God is. It is God. And God just cannot, God never had a beginning. The only beginning that Jesus ever had was in His humanity when He was begat. And that's His only beginning. And He didn't really begin there. He was always God. And He came into humanity in the form of humanity. He was born as a babe in a manger. We know that. But yet, before that, He is eternal. He never started anywhere else. Never will. He's eternal. And you might think of that when God gives you and I eternal life. That means we'll never, ever be without God, and life will never end. Everything is done in this world, try to prolong life a little bit further. Amen. To make your wrinkles a little less. I know my wife knows what I'm thinking about right here. But anyway, life happens. Okay, we'll put it there. But God has given us the faith, put faith in our hearts, that we the ability to believe in Him. And God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Sound mind is hard to find in many places today, but that's what God gives. And so that's what we believe. The fear of the Lord includes awe for His greatness, His holiness, His love, and submission to His will. Initially, the fear of God may have involved fright, yet it leads to a sense of wonder, amazement, and awe of who God really is. And to think that God, who created everything and came from nowhere and did not begin anywhere and will never end anywhere, could have mercy upon you and I and have a way of a plan of salvation, redemption for us. I want to tell you, we serve a loving God, a powerful God, a mighty God, a God that cares, a God that loves, a God's never going to give up or never going to quit because He is eternal. And He's not subject to time and space. Amen. Before Facebook came in, it was called MySpace. Anybody remember MySpace? God's had space before there ever was such a thing. Amen. So we're in God's space. Praise the Lord. And so the fear of the Lord here, we talked about the influence of God's Word. So we should be influenced about the greatness of God. And let's move to the second point here. We talked about that's the fact there's only one true God. And so, well, Pastor, I don't have a problem with anything else. I don't have a problem with falling down and worshiping my car, my sports figure. I just don't have a problem with that, but you might. And so you and I need to realize that in the beginning, God, if we just stop right there, that's what the Bible says, in the beginning, God, it wouldn't have to go any further. That's where everything was made from. God made everything. God's a creator. And so God is not what some people term as polytheism, which is the worship of many gods. You can go to India and you'll find all kinds of gods, and a god for this and a god for that, and if they come up with something that needs a god, they'll make a new one. But the Bible is against polytheism. The Bible is against materialism, saying that in the universe constitutes all the God there is. The Bible is against pantheism, the belief that God is all and all is God. The Bible is against deism, the belief that there's a supreme being above us, the source of creator of all things, but so far removed from us that we cannot communicate with him, and utterly indifferent. He is utterly indifferent to our need of him and deaf to our cry for mercy and help. God's word says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And so the Bible is against deism. Christian theism, if you want to put it that way, is a proper name for the Bible doctrine about the deity. Theism, from the Greek word theos, meaning God, holds that one true God is present in this universe and his ears are open to the cries of his children. You heard it this morning through testimony. You heard just two people. There's many people. The people cried out to God in an impossible situation and God responded. God is not indifferent to your need. You say, well, how come that somebody people have prayed for die? My friend, everybody dies eventually. But if you die with Christ, your physical body may die, but your spirit man immediately is with the Lord. Moses and Elijah both died physical deaths, but they were seen on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus spoke with them many, many years later. So the spirit may die, or the body may die, but the spirit never dies. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it says there's a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Amen. You say, well, I'm not sure about that spiritual body. I am. It dwells inside your physical body and looks just like you. Amen. So I'm going to move on. There's too many questions there. But anyway. But there's only one true God. And people worship things. Do people worship things? You know, idolatry was the thing that Israel had the most problem with, of praying to something else, falling down to a block of wood or something as if it was a god. And so in Psalms chapter 122 or 115, there's some things there that tells us about the foolishness of idolatry. And I'm going to read a little bit of it. Psalms 115:4. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. And here's what God thinks about idolatry. He says, they have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. They have noses, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their heart or their throat. And those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. That's God's talking about the foolishness of idolatry, because there's really only one true God. And this one true God is alive and true and well and real and holy and deserves to be worshipped and praised and magnified. And my friend, you can live for him, walk with him, and spend eternity with him. That's what you want to do. Praise God. And today people worship many other things. People worship the God of self. That's probably the greatest idol. It's just what I think is best. I'll make up my own mind of what my commandments are. That's the God of self. That's a false God. People worship money. People worship possessions. People worship sports figures. People worship Super Bowl. Just thought I'd throw that in there for you. People worship things that can never satisfy or to quench spiritual thirst. Only relationship with God can fill the void in man's life, because there's a void there that's created, and God has that place in you that's never filled unless you go to him. And he fills that void. Praise the Lord. The Bible talks about one God. 1 Corinthians 5, or 8 and 5, it says, for even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we for him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things, through whom we live. I think God's word testifies to us that there is only one really true God. One God. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4 and 6, it says there's one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in you all. So this one true God, he guided Israel through the wilderness. And this one true God provided daily for their needs, manna from heaven and water from the rock. All the necessities of life were provided by God. And so the one true God could do this. And people could cry out to the water God or the rain God or whatever God they wanted to cry out to, but to get no response. But when God was in charge, all needs were met, all the necessities of life were provided for, and God is still God and still can do the same things today. It's God by His power that keeps the waters of the ocean from overflowing the earth again and destroying it, because God promised that it would never happen like that again. But I want to tell you something, whatever you're going through in your life, God is bigger, God is greater, He's over, He's above, He's outside any way that you want to think. You need God in your life. You need one true God to live for and to serve and to listen to. Is the Lord. So God guided Israel through the wilderness 40 years. You know, God's a patient God. That's the reason you and I are Christians and alive and on our way to heaven. So God guided Israel through the wilderness, provided daily water, daily bread, all the necessities. God was about to give them the promised land. This is out of the book of Deuteronomy now. God was going to give them the promised land. And God had promised it'll have hills, it'll have valleys, it'll have water, it'll have all the necessities of life, and it's the land that I'm giving you. And so he was about to give them a land that was far different from the one they had come from. They had been 430 years in the land of Egypt, but he had saved them from the slavery of Egypt. And God saves us today from the slavery of sin. And sin is a slaver. It's slavery. Oh, so he saved them from the slavery of Egypt, guided them through the wilderness, and gave them his instructions. And truly, God guides us through this wilderness of sin that we live in today and leads us to our eternal future in him, with him. The Lord is one means the Lord alone. There's only one God. Isaiah 43, 10, 11. You're my servants whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Isaiah 43, 10, and 11. Israel's greatest temptation and failure was obedience to the disobedience to the first two commandments. Idolatry simply is letting something or someone take God's place. It's to replace God with something else. It's to replace worship. We might as well get down to this. Replace worship with something else. It's to replace church with something else. It's to replace worship with something else. You can't replace God with something. He cannot be replaced. My friend, he's in charge of everything. He's the first, the last, the beginning, the end. He rose again from the dead. He took his work on the cross. He did all that he did for you and me. So he can't be replaced as one true God. Have you let things replace God in your life? Have you let God, have there been numerous excuses that you've used? I can't come and worship God, I'm too tired. Can't come worship God because it's raining. I can't come worship God because it's too hot or it's too cold. Excuses compete with your time for worship, prayer, and His Word. My friend, don't let anything replace God and His Word in your life. You live for God. You read your Bible. You pray. You seek God's face. You live for Him when you understand and when you don't understand, and when you're sorry and you're feeling bad, you're in a bad mood. My friend, worship God anyway. Praise the Lord. Just give Him praise. Just worship Him. Amen. It was when Israel came and under King Jehoshaphat. You may not envy his name, especially the last phrase. But when they were surrounded by a great army that was bigger than they were, they looked to God And they began to, everybody from the kids and to the adults, I mean, they even had the senior citizens and the WMs and the children's church. They all came to God and they fasted and prayed. They were surrounded by a huge army. They were many more people, tens of thousands of people against Israel. But they began to praise. They began to worship God. And as they worshiped God, God sent ambushes against the enemy. They didn't have to fight in that. And that battle, God defeated them. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, if you want to read it when you get home. And so God did a powerful work there. And God can still do anything that He's ever done. He's still powerful. Amen. And so nothing can take God's place in your life. Nothing can take God's word, place of God's word in your life. And these words God commanded, verse 6 through 9 of our text, these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. It's not just something that's said on Fox News or CNN or any other kind of thing. And He said, you shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. Don't you get the idea that God meant for His word to be imparted everywhere? It's the Lord. You say, well, I'd read the Bible, I just don't understand it. You need to be born again so God's Spirit can make His word real to you. It's the Lord. Bind them as a sign on your hand that shall be as frontlets between your eyes. And God says, or you shall teach them, because they will influence you. They will influence your children. If you teach your children with the Word of God is living and powerful, and God's Word will influence, have great influence on your life. To be influenced all your days, to be taught continually. God's Word was to be a continual influence wherever they looked, where they would be reminded of what God said. The influence of God's Word would be in every area of their lives. What if down our highways that have thousands of billboards that advertise this, that, and the other, you know, and that your very life depends on it, if you don't buy this or buy that, you know, we hear advertisements everywhere, but what if every billboard down the highways had, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not buy? What if every one of them had a commandment, one of the Ten Commandments written on? I think it would change society, wouldn't it? That's what they would be looking and seeing all the time. And God says in His Word here, says, I want this, my words to be in you when you go in, when you come out. He said, I want you to write them on the doorpost of your house. He said, I want the Word of God everywhere. And so that's what He said. Praise the Lord. Teach them diligently to your children. Talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way. Is there anything better to talk about than who God is and His greatness? No. Praise the Lord. They shall be a sign on your hands. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees took this seriously. They did this literally in Jesus' day, form and use, called phylacteries, meaning frontal. It was a strip of parchment with four passages of Scripture written on it. And each strip was rolled up and tied together with the white hair of a calf or a cow's tail. And they were placed in one of the compartments of a small box which hung around their neck and became what they considered frontlets between your eyes. And it was there so that they would not forget what God said in His commandments. I'm not saying that's literally what we should do today, but my friend, it should not be far from our mind ever what God said in His Word. Okay? So the conclusion today is that we worship the one true God, because He's in charge of everything. We can trust Him. We can know Him. We can love Him. We can live for Him. We can have eternal life with Him. My friend, I want to spend eternity with the God that created all things, from whom comes every good and perfect gift. We want to be with Him. My friend, when the door of this life is closed and it's open into eternity, we want the door in heaven to be open. Praise God. That's where we want to go, where there's neither death, sorrow, sickness, pain, or suffering. It's all gone. It's all over. It doesn't exist in heaven. Funeral homes doesn't exist in heaven. Cancer wards don't exist in heaven. There's no heart problems in heaven. We're with God. My friend, you want to go there. You don't want to miss it for whatever the world might have to offer. It has nothing compared to what God has to offer. Love Him and serve Him. There's only one true God. Praise the Lord. The influence of God's Word. Read it every day. Hide it in your heart. Live by it. Believe it. You can believe it. It's true. Praise the Lord. Amen.